America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Everyone, we are back. It's Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. It's episode 425. Good gracious, time is flying, and we're in November, which should be a really good month for boxing. December is going to be great as well. December 6th, we're headed to San Antonio to watch Lamont Roach take on Pitbull Cruz, Janabek versus Lara, Oshaki Foster going up against Stephen Fulton, a stacked card in the Lone Star State. So make sure to order with us at PPV.com. Make sure to follow us all week long and make sure to join us in the live interactive chat on Fight Night, which has become the place to be on Fight Nights. I cannot wait to head out to Texas. Got my cowboy hat, my cowboy boots, and my assless chaps. How are you, Chris?
Oh man, I didn't need all that visual, whatever. Anyway, I actually need to buy some real cowboy boots when we're out there. I think that's going to be on the docket once we get out there. I got to buy some legit Texan cowboy boots. So anyone listening who are Texans and are listeners, let me know in the San Antonio area where I should go to get some like ultra legit cowboy boots.
That would be a great video. I'm thinking of ways to enhance our content. I was thinking about doing some live streaming where you can like literally us going to get cowboy boots. We can stream that live.
Yeah. Let's go.
Wouldn't that be sick?
I've wanted real boots for a while. So if we could do this as an experience with the fans and people can point us in the right direction, why the hell not?
Like two city slickers.
Yeah, city slicker. I was looking for a word. Like, what am I? I'm like
two city slickers city walking around, walking around San Antonio looking for boots and churros. We'll leave it there.
I love it. All right, that's all right, dude. Write that down. We're doing that. Oh. And fans who are and listeners, you guys, I know we have some Texas listeners, so let us know San Antonio area where we get the best boots around.
All right. Yes. So we got that going for us. Going to have a little bit of a preview episode here. Recording this on Friday before Virgil Ortiz, Erickson Lubin. Really like this fight Saturday night on DAZN. Virgil Ortiz versus Erickson Lubin. It's a beauty of a fight at 154. Major stakes. Jerome Boots Ennis and Eddie Hearn are rumored to be ringside as a clash with Virgil is looming for 2026. If he can win, Chris, Erickson Lubin is as battle-tested as they come. He possesses a style that could stymie Mr. Virgil Ortiz, 154, the best division in boxing, and it kicks off with this really, really good fight.
Yeah, this is one of those fights when it was announced, I was like, Virgil, you know, is Virgil. I think he's one of the top guys in the division, if not the top guy at 154, and it's a very tough division. You know, Lubin has been kind of inactive and can't really, like, when was the last time he looked really good? And then as I'm looking at this fight and studying it, and then also seeing Lubin firsthand, you know, I called this fight against Holmes, and it was, you know, he's started a little bit slow. He was with a guy who was very much a disruptor. But once he turned it on, once he found that gear, I mean, he was a machine that I remembered, you know, from it's crazy to think, you know, like 7-8 years ago, and the guy's only 30. One of these guys who skyrocketed into the limelight, ton of potential. Everyone was expecting him to be an absolute phenom. And then just ran into some bad luck and some great fighters. Let's put it that way. But ultimately, stylistically, the way this fight matches up, the more I've looked into it, the more more and more excited I've gotten as we're getting closer.
Oh yeah, I mean this fight was it wasn't the fight either fighter technically wanted, and but we're getting it. And I honestly think it's going to be a really good fight because how we got here is Ortiz defeated Madrimov in May. He quickly sets his sights on WBO champ. Yeah, he quickly sets his sights on WBO champ Xander Zayas, who we'll get to in a second, is now fighting Abbas Barão at the end of January. So their negotiation became very public. You know, Golden Boy offers up a split pay-per-view in Dallas area, gives Zayas a deadline. Zayas didn't seem to like that deadline. He's like, yo, I'm the champ. Encounter with, all right, why don't you come fight me in Puerto Rico? We could debate that all day. What does that mean from Zayas? You know, he's the champion, so he should be dictating the terms, but Ortiz is the bigger name. That fight falls apart, as most fights in boxing do. Lubin, like you said, fights Archie Holmes, who is a tough out, via 11th round stoppage in May. With that win, Lubin became the number one contender for Bakram or Tursalayev's strap. Lubin's team then weighs the risk-reward for that one, and they say, all right, we can fight Bakram for the belt and make a fraction of the money that we would potentially make to fight Ortiz for no belt. They chose to go the Ortiz route. This is America, capitalism. I get it. 27 years old now for Ortiz, and he's yet to win a world title. Lubin, like you said, has those losses to Fundora, has the loss to Charlo, which was seems like a long time ago. But there's like a stark difference in this fight in terms of styles, in terms of career paths. You have the Ortiz, who's a wrecking ball. He's going to throw 60, 70 punches around, come forward. Lubin, a little more measured. You know, two-fisted attacks, southpaw. Has been at the weight for almost a decade. And that, this is Ortiz's fifth fight at 154, but really third fight against top talent at 154. Yes. So it's going to be a clash of styles. It's a clash of how these guys got here, like career paths. And there's a lot on the line. If Ortiz wins this fight, like, we're going to get that boots fight. I think there's so much momentum for that. And if Lubin wins, he's right in the mix. He's, you know, almost back to the top where he was a few years ago trying to beat Fundora.
Yeah, I think Ortiz is expected to win, but it's not going to be easy. And I would not be that surprised if Lubin won this fight. And I know it seems kind of crazy to say. I'm a huge Ortiz fan, and I'm putting that out there. I do have a little bias. You know, I have a little bias. I really like Ortiz, but
it's always good when you say your biases first. I appreciate that.
Right.
I think appreciate that.
I'm going to put that out there. I am biased. I'm biased towards Ortiz. He's my favorite guy in the division, and I believe he's also one of the he's probably the most talented guy in the division. I think he has the potential to reign over this division as deep as it is. But at the same time, I'm with Erickson Lubin down here in Florida. I've called his last fight. I've been in the gym with him. I see how he works. I see what he is. I see what he brings to the table. And I just stylistically, I know he can be an absolute nightmare for everyone in the division, especially Ortiz, because Ortiz is a guy. Listen, Ortiz gets hit. You saw his face at the end of the Madrigal fight. He had marks all over his face.
Look at his face at the beginning of he was getting pieced up by Madrigal first couple rounds.
Exactly, and then obviously the Bohochek fight, he got dropped twice. You know, early in the fight, you know, you take that into account. He's going to taste the power of Lubin. And Lubin has legit power at the weight. You made such a great point earlier, Dan, about the guy's been at this weight for 10 years. He's a real 54-pounder, and he's a real puncher. You know, does Ortiz come out cautious? Does Ortiz come out trying to mow him down? Does he run into a shot? He's also a southpaw. Those punches coming from weird angles. That's the thing about Lubin, too. He's you mentioned, two-fisted attacker. He can punch with both hands. He's got a right hook and a straight left hand. He's a body puncher as well. There's going to be a lot of openings for him to take advantage of if Victor goes out there and if Virgil goes out there and is very aggressive. So very interesting fight, especially early on. Going to be curious to see what happens once Lubin lands that real junior middleweight power on Ortiz in those first opening rounds.
Lubin did an interview with Mill City Boxing, and he says, I feel like Virgil gets a little emotional when he fights. You land some punches on him. He starts shaking his head, biting his lip. He wants to get it back. He starts throwing some crazy shit back at you. And that, he hopes. And that could be what Lubin's looking for. You know, Lubin could kind of sit back because that's his style. But if he does sit back, he's going to get kind of picked apart, I think, because Virgil can land. I know he throws 60, 70 punches, but has a very good jab that I think people are sleeping on. When they think of Virgil Ortiz, you think of knockouts, right? You think of just like, oh, he had 21 straight knockouts, and he's just like a come-forward brawler. No, this guy can box, man. This dude went like, you know, bar for bar with Madrimov, who is a master technician and outbox Madrimov and arguably beat Madrimov better than Bud beat Madrimov. Is that a crazy statement?
No, it's not arguable at all. He got 100% did. And he showed his class, and he showed that he was a step above, a head and shoulders above Madrimov that night. But also, you know what got him out of the Bohochek fight? The disaster that could have been? His boxing. It was his jab. His tenacity, his endurance. And he showed both of those at his two fights at 154 against when he fought the world elite guys in Bohochek and Madrimov. He showed that he's not just a one-trick pony. He's not just going to mow you down like a lawnmower. He has boxing skill. Between that left jab that he pumps consistently, the amount of punches that he throws each round, which is high for middleweight, junior middleweight, and the body punching, especially the left hook, he's an all-around problem for everybody.
Yeah, a lot of the narrative around Ortiz, his fights at 154, the bigger ones, you know, not the Frederick Lawsons who he just ran through and DeLorme.
Those are welterweights though. They were not real 54 pounders.
They were at the. I'm talking about the last two, like when he really stepped up the competition. A lot of the narrative around Ortiz at 154, it's. I feel like it's a lot about what he's done wrong. It's like, oh, he barely survived Bohochek. Many believe that he lost. Against Madrimov, it's like, oh, his KO streak ended. Or his KO streak ended against Bohochek. He's finally going the distance. He's getting pieced up. We're just seeing more of him. So fans are seeing maybe some flaws that you wouldn't see in when he usually just pulverizes guys. I just think that's just kind of the way boxing is we try to pick apart these fighters rather than talk about what they do great. But I feel like this win right here for Ortiz, should he get it, now we're looking at like three bona fide wins at 154. Madrimov, Bohochek, and Erickson Lubin. And when you like the momentum there for a boots fight and just momentum for Ortiz, who, you know, a lot of it's kind of self-inflicted or it's just like the business of boxing. It's insane. But this guy is 27 years old, arguably one of the best prospects or best, not prospects, some detractors would still call him a prospect. Doesn't have a world title on his resume at 27, Virgil Ortiz. Isn't that insanity when belts are being thrown out like what are we throwing them out like? M&Ms.
I was gonna say t-shirts like at a basketball game. T-shirt guns. They're just shooting these world titles and allowing guys to fight. You know, you got a guy like Ryan Garcia who just walks into title fights, title opportunities over and over and over again.
By the way, Chris, Ryan DM'd, shot me a DM. I see you in Algeria talking shit. Ha 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 ha. He wasn't. I gotta give Ryan credit.
I love
here.
Ryan.
I gotta give this guy credit. I said, brother, I fired back and I said, well, man, how often do you see a guy coming off a loss get a title shot? I said, I'm not hating the player. We're hating the game. And he goes, ha ha, I know. Ha ha, I gotta win. And I said, yes. That right there is the way these fighters should talk with the media guys.
That I don't know if that shows maturity or just realization of the situation that he's in. But Ryan's dude, we like Ryan on the show. We're not Ryan haters here. So Ryan, we love you, bro. We wish you the best. But yeah, we gotta shoot it straight. That's what we do here. But that's an awesome response by
him. It was pretty funny. It was middle of the day yesterday. Because I responded, he posted something. The Ring has been putting out stats, CompuBox stats, and there was a graphic that went out about best defenders in boxing in terms of how many punches they get hit per round. And Ryan Garcia is in the top 10. He only gets hit with 7 punches a round. So I replied to the story on Instagram. I was like, yeah, but you always have a problem with your jab numbers. Because he used to chirp me all the time about his jab numbers.
Nice. Jeez, Dan, we're real big, man.
No, I was like,
right
bro, so
right
I was
for
like,
the jugular.
I said, so you're saying these stats are right, but your jab stats are wrong, which has been a common beef I've had with boxers over the years. Where they've challenged us about their stats being wrong, but when it's negative, a favorable stat, they love it.
Yeah, of course.
And I put the emoji, laughing emoji, so you knew I was kidding. And that's when he said, you know, oh, by the way, I heard what you in Algeria said, suck it, haters. And I was like, yeah, I get it, bro. I was like, I get it.
Dude, we're the no hate podcast. That should be our nickname.
No, we're giving it to you straight. We'll give you credit and we'll criticize you when you deserve it. I think that's real. I remember Devin Haney once hopped on a Zoom I did with him before we went live. He's like, yo, you keep it real. And I was like, that's the best compliment you could possibly give.
Keep it real, someone. Shoot it straight. keep it real, shoot it straight. That's what it's all about. But back to my point, we were talking about you talking about Virgil and where he's at in terms of not being a titleist. Neither one of these guys are titleists. And in an era where guys are getting title shots all the time and guys are, you know, winning titles and it comes down to almost like who you know, and who you're with. It's unfortunate because you got guys that are this good. Erickson Lubin, listen, Lubin had his opportunities. I'm not saying that. He fell short. But in terms of talent level, yeah, he's a guy that you would think would be a world champion already, and he's not. Virgil Ortiz, you look at him, and absolutely, he's world-class elite. How does this guy not have a world title? And then you got, and not knocking Xander at all, but Xander being 21 years old or 22 years old has a world title in this weight class. But there's also a Virgil Ortiz, great white shark swimming around who does not have a title. It's interesting the way the boxing moves, but listen, this is a good fight either way. We do not need a title for this fight. This is an excellent matchup with two guys who have the trajectory to be in world title fights next, even though this weight class is that tough.
Yeah, there doesn't have to have a title attached. If Virgil Ortiz wins, he's going to fight Boots Ennis. There's no title there. I kind of like this. I like that Zayas went his route. And this is, I want to get into a deep conversation about how belts matter and the current system is kind of important with the TKO looming over there. But Zayas goes his route and he gets a belt. And then now he has a currency, which is a WBO belt. And he gets a unification with Abbas Barão at the end of January. And at age 21, 22 years old, Zayas is potentially going to be a two-belt champion. I mean, at that point, he's in the driver's seat. I know we're looking very much ahead, but like, it's just crazy how, you know, this is like the one knock, and it's also good for the fighters in terms of having so many belts out there. But going to Lubin, so 2016 Prospect of the Year. I remember hearing about this kid. PBC signed him, and I was like hearing all about these knockouts. I was hearing like these guys. He nicknamed his hands Steel and Jack. So I could have had that wrong, but he was knocking fools out, and he's coming up the ranks, and then he steps into the ring with Jermell Charlo at the Barclays Center in October of 2017. I believe that was an undercard of Deontay Wilder. Let me get that. I have it right here. Was it their own? No, Arizona Lee Lauer was on that card. Jared Hurd, Austin Trout, Tony Harrison. Man, this card was loaded. It was the main event. It was the main event of a Barclays Center fight, and he gets erased in one round. One round.
With a highlight reel, ridiculous counter uppercut that is like, it's like, it was like a textbook. If you were trying to show someone how to do a catch and shoot uppercut, it was just, I mean, a thing of beauty. Super unfortunate for Lubin, but god damn.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you get up to that point, you're a prospect of the year, you're a decorated amateur, and you finally get that shot. One round, it's over. And then he has to pick up the pieces for years.
Yeah.
Years. Because he was looked at as damaged goods. Why?
That's how it goes. Because it was a bad knockout, and then the question of the chin always comes into play. It was so early and it happened so quickly that your ability to deal with the shining lights of a big event comes into play. Mm. The question of, is this guy just a hype job, comes into play. So those are three strikes against you right there. You know, chin, being able to perform, maybe he wasn't really that good. Always comes into play when that kind of situation happens, and you have to rebuild. And when you get yourself back into position, it shows that, number one, the chin's not that bad, obviously, if you can get back to world-class elite. And it wasn't his chin that failed him against Fandor, it was his face. And then also under the lights, he can still perform, hasn't been able to get the win, although he did against Ramos Jr.
Arguably.
Arguably. I think he fought a smart fight, though, in terms of slowing it down and making it a snail's pace, because Ramos throws a ton of punches and is a really dangerous guy. and then the question about maybe the hype is probably still looming. You know, can this guy win a world title? If he doesn't win a world title, you know, does he go down as a hype job? I think a lot of people might say that because of how much his potential was seen as leading up to all of these shortcomings.
Yeah, well said. 2017, that loss to Charlo, he reels off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight wins. Jason Rosario in the mix, Terrell Gachet in the mix, Nathaniel Gallimore in the mix. Ishii stops Ishii Smith for the first time in his career. Works his way back up to that Fundora fight. And we know what happened there. Fight of the year candidate, face smashed up, looked like the Martin meme. And that's when you're like, oh, God, this is really the end for Lubin. Takes 14 months off, comes back with two wins, Luis Arias and that disputed Ramos win. I thought Ramos won. I remember were we there? Yes, we were there. That was on the Charlo Canelo undercard. Thought he lost that in the moment. Closer type of fight. These judges had it way wrong. 117-111 for Patricia Morsch Jarman, who I met at a Toronto hotel lobby once. And I said, hey, aren't you the judge?
Hey, you.
I said, aren't you a judge? And she got really like, huh.
Like, run. Yeah. I've been recognized. Run.
She scurried fast. No, she's like, yes, I am. And she was a little taken back, but whatever. Yeah, she was wrong that night. I wasn't about to bring that up in the hotel lobby, but you know, I just was like, hey, you guys.
She's waiting for it. She's waiting for it. It's like, oh no, right? Recognize me. Here goes all my bad decisions on paper.
I said, you guys should do more interviews. And she's like, well, you know, we shouldn't. That's the story.
You know, we're not allowed.
Yeah, and she said that. She said they're not allowed.
That would also undermine a lot of things, but whatever.
Yes. Whole other podcast for that. But anyway, Lubin is back. And you're right. 30 years old. Hype job. I never really thought about that about Lubin. It's like he's got to be thinking these thoughts. That's why he's super excited to get this fight. And it's not for a title either. So he beats Virgil Ortiz. It's his best win. And he doesn't have a strap.
He has a massive win, though.
He gets the interim belt.
That's a catapult into the stratosphere.
Yeah, and he gets a kick of the litter.
Like Virgil. And it doesn't matter how he wins. So, you know, we're talking about the Ramos Jr. fight. We're like, oh, I didn't think he won. It doesn't matter. He won. He moved on. And it's the reason he's here. Virgil Ortiz is another thing. You get past a guy like Virgil, I don't care how the hell you win. You are in a different layer, a level now. And even a rematch, you've got a bargaining chip now. So it's and it becomes a bigger fight. But yeah, this is a high stakes fight. This should be the name of the card, high stakes, because both these guys have a lot to lose and a lot to win here.
Yeah, I love it. I love that it's in Texas. I love that it's back in the U.S. And could we be seeing a U.S. resurgence in boxing for 2026?
Let's go.
Ryan Garcia versus Mario Barra should land in the U.S. Shakur Stevenson versus Teofimo Lopez. Looks like that's going to be happening in the U.S. There's some other fights being talked about going down in the grand U.S. of A. I would love to see that in 2026. So we can get boxing back on a normal schedule in some of the biggest cities in the U.S.
Need Agreed. That. And then also the fans need us to be there so they can
That's a given.
Get boots on the ground, maybe even cowboy boots on the ground.
Ashes, chaps.
that's all you, buddy. Oh, yeah. All you.
Let's go to the odds. Minus 1,000 favorite for Virgil, plus 600 for Lubin. Thanks. Over under set at 9.5. Virgil by stoppage, minus 160. Wow.
Books are tell me how you really feel. Tell me how Virgil. You really feel, Vegas. Yeah.
Virgil by decision, which has been his last two fights, have been when he has stepped up, Virgil has gone the decision route, plus 180. Some value there. Lubin by stoppage, plus 950. Massive number. Lubin by decision. Are you kidding me? Plus 1600. Why are they sleeping on Erickson? These odds makers, are they aware that he's the 2016 prospect of the year?
Do they know? Well, 2016 was a long time ago, Dan. But also,
betting wasn't even legal back then.
Do they know something we don't? Because, listen, he can't win a decision?
In Texas.
Ah.
I hate that I have to say that, but it's in Texas.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy you say that, and I go, ah, okay, that's it. that's another
Patricia
problem.
George Marsh Jarman to in Texas, hometown of Virgil Ortiz.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that either. I could see Lubin seeing the final bell and then scraping by. I could also see Lubin by KO early if he catches Ortiz. I'm not saying that's my prediction. I'm saying it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. But Vegas is saying it's almost nearly impossible.
Ortiz late stoppage, 7 through 12, plus 175. I think Virgil Ortiz is going to win via stoppage. I think he's going to break him down. And I think he's
good.
Yeah. I think Virgil's going to break him down late. And I've been ice cold with my bets. I need a winner. Virgil, 7 through 12. I like that a lot. I think Virgil's going to win. I think he's going to stop him. And then hopefully Boots is there. And I saw Oscar saying, stay home. I was like, geez, can we just for once promote a fight the proper way? Don't come. But he said, like, if Boots shows up ringside and sees how good Virgil is, he may not want to fight him.
Nah, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement. And
what's up, East LA?
There's no credibility to that. It's like he's not going to see it. You know, on TV, it doesn't.
Yeah, it was dumb.
He's not going to look as good. He's going to look better in person than he does on TV. It doesn't matter.
I wanted also, Oscar I to think, say, come through.
Yeah, come through. Come in the ring right after. Come in the ring. Come in the ring.
Face
right,
off.
Yeah. Do every media outlet possible to say I used you to, like, want this fight.
Yeah, I used to kind of like think that was corny and like, no, the way the Weir Boxing's at right now, like we need every bit of like juice, especially a fight of this stature, an Ortiz versus Boots. But yeah, I like Ortiz late stoppage. That's probably going to be my bet. I will post my official bet because that's something I do, guys. I post my bet the morning of, not after when I win. Anyway, what's your pick?
I too lean with Virgil. Again, it sucks because I'm very close with Lubin down here in South Florida. Mm. Called his last fight with Arjun Holmes. Really like Lubin. Really like Ortiz as well. But I just think, in terms of momentum and activity and what I'm seeing from Ortiz, it's really hard to pick against him. But I think he's going to have to dig deep, and he's got to show some things. I think I'm going to go with decision, though. I think I'm going to go Ortiz makes it to the end because I just we haven't seen that power at 54, and this is another 154-pounder, a true 154-pounder, and the guy's tough. You take away that one-shot KO from Charlo, which can happen to anyone at any time in any fight. When you get hit with a peach of a punch like that, you know, it happens. But Fandora, who has shown himself to be a legit puncher and beating guys to you know, and stopping them and dropping them. You know, he dropped, Fandora dropped Lubin early, but Lubin came back to drop him. And then it was his face that failed him. I don't think he wanted to stop that fight. I think he got stopped on, you know, all the combinations and getting hit so much. I don't know if Ortiz is going to be able to put together that many punches the way that Fandora did. So I'm saying decision.
All right. Just to go back to that Fandora thing, I was reading up on that too. That was the first time Fandora had been down in his career or sparring.
Wow.
I know he fell hard.
He's shown a tremendous beard. You know, even Tim Zoo was like blasting, landing full-blown haymakers on him with the left and the right hand, and he just walked through them. So, that shows you the power of Lubin.
And also Lubin went down first. For him to get up
right,
and then drop Fandora. That fight was awesome. I don't know if I can rewatch it because it was so brutal. It's a great fight. All right, yeah, I'm going Virgil. Late stoppage. You got Virgil by decision. Quickly, about 154 pounds. Best division in boxing is getting better because we have this Virgil-Lubin fight, which is going down in early November. Xander Zayas versus Abbas Barrow is set for January 31st. Unification bout for Zayas' WBO and Barrow's WBA. Barrow won the WBA title. He beat Yoenis Teyes, which is for the interim or one of the belts, and then Charlo rescinded his belt or whatever. Barrow gets pumped up. Barrow is good. I see a lot of people sleeping on this guy. I'm going to be honest. I kind of slept on him too. I called his fight with Teyes. I thought Teyes was going to win. Barrow shocked me, not shocked, but wowed me that night because I've heard from a lot of respectable people in the biz that how good this guy is. Fought most of his career in Germany. Sturdy, just sturdy, very solid, well-rounded fighter. This is an awesome fight. It's not the biggest fight in boxing, but it's an awesome fight. Zayas at 21, 22, unification bout against a very good opponent in Barrow. That's January 31st.
Yeah, I remember when you were going to call that Yoenis Teyes fight with Barrow, and I remember I was like, oh, who is this guy, Barrow? And I look him up, and I started looking at his record, and I'm like, this is a tough fight. because, you know, Taez is Taez, of course. Obviously, he's, you know, a highly touted prospect, but he's only got 10 fights. And I'm looking at Barao. He's, you know, he's got fights over. He's got wins over a guy like Sam Eggington, who's a veteran. He's been around forever. I'm like, that's a good name on there. That's a good win. Look at these records. Look at the guys that he's fighting. He, you know, his only loss is a split decision to Jack Colque, who's a nightmare for everyone to fight, even at the highest level. So, you know, this guy's been in with a bunch of really tough guys. Carlos Molina, who's another guy who's super tough and makes everybody look bad. He's got a good win over him. He's one of those guys you got to look past the numbers. He doesn't have the profile. You're not going to hear that name and be like, oh, yeah, yeah. No, you got to look at him. You got to look into him. You got to watch him fight. Throws a ton of punches. He's super durable. He's physically strong. This is a serious test for Zayas. He's going to have to really be on his P's and Q's for all 12 rounds. I think Zayas, with his physicality and his boxing skills, probably should win this fight. But if he can't keep it up for 12 rounds, Barao's going to get him. Yeah, and it's that kind of fight. This is a really interesting fight. I think Zayas can run away with this fight and actually make it look pretty easy because his physicality and his athleticism and his ability to box. But if he has to stand his ground and get caught on the ropes and gets tired, oof, we got a very, very interesting and nail-biting situation for Team Zayas.
Yeah, then the winner of that walks away with two belts in the best division in boxing, and it's huge. It's huge. And Zayas got criticized during those Virgil Ortiz negotiations. Hey, fight me in Puerto Rico, which many people looked at as a duck, but now he got another champ, and he's going to be in the driver's seat if he wins. He can dictate a lot, you would think, with a belt, because if Boots fights Virgil, and the winner of that could fight Zayas or Fundora, which Fundora Thurman is January 2026. Bakram Josh Kelly is January 31st. So all the champs are going to be fighting within the same time schedule, around the same time, around from November 7th. I know that Virgil's not a champ, but November 7th to the end of January, all the prominent 154-pounders will be fighting. That's what we want.
All the top dogs in the best weight class in the division, in the sport. Love that. Need that. When and where is this fight?
January 31st in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, it's in Puerto Rico. Okay. I mean, shit. I'm in. You want to go to Puerto Rico? Let's go to Puerto Rico.
I'm already going for Serrano versus Serrano's coming back. Cruz. Serrano. I should know that. Rematch. Serrano, Cruz. Holly Holm is fighting for a title against Stephanie Hahn.
Holly Holm's going to win, dude. She's going to win. Holly Holm is going to win. She's going to be a tough out for any of these ladies.
It's going to be awesome.
So she's taking them on. This is my professional opinion. She has the background, the skills, obviously, of in boxing. But she's taking the weight cuts from MMA into boxing. Women do not cut as much weight as the men do. Holly Holm is humongous for that weight class. She's cutting weight like she was fighting for an MMA fight, but it's women's boxing. It's 2-minute rounds. So even if you're drained, you sprint for 2 minutes for 10 rounds.
No, it's 10 threes.
Oh, it's 10 threes? I don't think it's going to make a difference either. But she's bringing her weight cuts and her physical size that she has from MMA into the boxing world. Plus, she already has the skills. She's already been 10 rounds before many, many times. I don't see anybody stopping her.
The preacher's daughter. She's good because Han is no joke, dude. Han is tough. She is a policewoman. No question.
I'm not knocking Han.
I'm just hyping Han up because she's really good. And I called her last fight with Holly Holm, calling with Holly Holm at ringside. It was so cool. I was like, oh man, this is sick. And Holm had her comeback win over Yolanda Vega, which was pretty one-sided, impressive. Coming pretty much hasn't boxed in forever. So if Holm can win, she would have won a world title over 12 years ago in between world titles. And that's not George Foreman status, like 20 years, but it's got to be
pretty darn close.
Yeah, we have we got our researchers looking at that because she's 44. Oh, man, that's a good one. That's going to be
it's got to be the
January 3rd.
If she would win that would be the oldest female world champion ever? No?
Oh, gotta be. I don't know off the top of my head, but it's gotta be. Gotta be. Speaking of Amanda Serrano, speaking of MVP, speaking of Jake Paul, the Jake Tank fight is officially off. Tank, easily the biggest bag fumble of all time. all because of idiotic moves on his end. Got to be on the Mount Rushmore of bag fumbling. Don't really want to make too many jokes about what Tank is accused of because they're pretty heinous. But a fight that a lot of people had a lot of opinions on, a fight that a lot of people did not want to watch, a fight that a lot of people were going to watch as well, is now gone. It's poof because Tank gets into more trouble. So that means that Jake Paul needs an opponent, and it's looking like December. So they have a very short turnaround to find an opponent. He says he sent out contracts to three fighters. Francis Ngannou has declined the fight without even negotiating, which I think is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling that Ngannou would turn down the fight. Do you agree?
Citing what reason?
I'm above this. How are you going to go from Gervonta to me? I'm insulted, he said. I don't need you. I'm onto other things. What other things? No offense. I love Francis Ngannou, the person. There's no – he guy is an upstanding individual. Yep. In terms of his career, where is it at right now? This is a guy that's not in the UFC. This is a guy that's barely fighting for PFL. This is a guy that did two boxing events, went the distance with
Made
Fury.
Ridiculous amount of money in those two
Insane
fights.
Amount of money. Gets evaporated by Joshua. So you're saying you're above fighting Jake Paul, and if you believe it's such easy work, why wouldn't you negotiate? At least see what the offer was. Take the money from Netflix. I don't know if they're going back and forth, and they're kind of talking trash on Twitter right now. I think, puzzled that he would just be like so dismissive of this and not even like try to negotiate if it's true.
Well, that could be a good negotiating tactic, and this could come back around. but I will say this about Ngannou, the way that he's moved his career, the man is and his team are very calculated, and they've made very good decisions. So I'm not going to sit there and be like, "Well, where's his career? What's he doing?" Because listen, he still has the PFL option, which. They have money and they pay, and he's a huge deal. Even though he got, like you said, evaporated by Joshua, he's still a huge deal in MMA. He's still that guy. And even in boxing, there's a lot of fights that he could take. You know, who knows? Maybe they're talking about a Deontay Wilder and Ngannou fight right now. And that's
there's no way a Wilder and Ngannou fight it makes the same amount as a Jake Paul.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But it puts him in a position of being a real heavyweight. Beating Jake Paul does not elevate him into heavyweight status as
but it makes your money.
He made huge money his last two fights. His next move is not money. His next move is listen. I want to make a real run at this. I want to fight the big names out there. And listen, the Jake Paul fight will be there because it will. Jake Paul's young. That fight will be there.
Yeah, I get that. The timing. That's another thing too. I kind of fall into a trap that I hate that some fans do to me, where it's like. All right, we can always revisit a fight. Just because it's not happening right now doesn't mean we can't revisit it. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
I don't want 5 weeks. You don't know where he's at. He could have an undisclosed injury.
Oh, he's got a lot from of personal issues.
From a fighter's perspective, you come at me, even if it's a crazy amount of money, but it's a short camp, fuck off.
Yeah, that's I think, what
because,
Jake was
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't say on BoxRec that I had a three-week camp. It just says I got beat. You know, so if you go out there and you underperform, or when you're dealing with the media and like, oh, I mean, you fought this guy and didn't look that good. It's like, well, yeah, they only gave me 3.5 weeks. Listen, I can say that in my own career. I got thrown short camps, a bunch of big fights. I mean, big fights. And I took them because I didn't have the power to not take them. So
wouldn't that be crazy on BoxRec?
I got that.
Wouldn't he be crazy on BoxRec if you were
We took the Errol Spence fight on 5.5 weeks notice. You know, like, okay, that'd be cool to have that out there. But no.
Yeah, you should do that. You should be able to, like, Wikipedia, you can go in and change your own stuff. You should be able to go into BoxRec and underneath your
Chris's
Spence
baby
fight,
mama, you know, was cheering against him in the crowd that night. So I couldn't have performed.
Right. Imagine that would be insane if fighters were allowed to go into their BoxRec and put the excuses why they lost. I'm not saying you made excuses, but like reasons why. Short camp.
A 3-page report for each fight.
3-page report. You can click it. There's a little star next to it. Event, bout, score, wiki. You can click another thing and it could be like why this fighter lost. You know, I wasn't feeling it.
My big toe was hurt. I stubbed my
big toe
was
hurting.
On the way to the
ACL
ring.
Was ripped apart. I had 3 different girlfriends in the crowd.
My
I was
back was
all 3
broken.
Spinal. No, I had 4 girlfriends in the crowd, all 4 corners of the ring. I was looking at all 4 of them.
Everywhere
got
I looked,
distracted, was knocked out.
Danger.
I'm telling you, we're onto something here.
We are falling off track here. We got
falling off track here. Well, it's because we're talking about it. Francis Ngannou, I think he should have took the fight. He could beat Jake, or maybe not. Or maybe Ngannou feels maybe like, not. If I lose to Jake Paul, I'm done. Like, I don't have done, any done. Of these done. But I don't have any point, of these other big fights.
To your point, done with a big bag. Because that would be three fights in a row with massive paydays.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's like, what are you about, Ngannou? I think Jake kind of said that in one of his tweets fired at him. It's like, are you a prize fighter? Because if you're a prize fighter, you take this fight. Are you trying to be a legitimate heavyweight boxer? Then you can go that route. Are you trying to be the best MMA heavyweight? Then figure out a way to get back into the good graces of UFC and fight John Jones, fight Tom Aspinall, fight Gain or whoever comes out of the pack at heavyweight. I think Ngannou's all over the place.
That's kind of easy to say, though, because he's not in the UFC anymore, so he can't fight any of those guys that were just mentioned.
Yeah, so, but Turkey, I don't know if I've been following from a distance, so I could be wrong here. This could be, like, news of, like, 3 months ago. I think Turkey was, like, pretty interested in making, like, a Jones-Ngannou fight, even though Jones doesn't even have the title. It would be Tom Aspinall. Right. Like, that's a very far-fetched in terms of Ngannou, like, doing a deal outside of the UFC and fighting for a UFC title. That's never been done in the history of the UFC.
It will never point happen being, either. Dana wouldn't allow that.
Dana would not allow that. But that would be a very boxing thing of UFC. That's pretty much how fights are made in boxing. You don't have to be part of an organization to get a
it's
fight.
It's pretty funny that you got guys who are trying to create a new organization that doesn't allow any outsiders in, and then do something like that is completely. Like that's why you got to look at the details on things like this. Like that doesn't. Yes, he says that's his thing, but like it's not realistic. Just like those names he mentioned, I'm saying multiple people are saying these things, but
I like Ngannou. Makes no fight. Sense. I like the Ngannou fight.
I do too.
Tommy Fury fight.
Tommy Fury fight makes way too much sense. A lot of the other names. What are the other names that were put out there? There was some.
Well, I'll get to those in a second. I'm talking about the two that I think are the most. I put out a video like what I think could be the most realistic, and I had Ngannou. I had Fury lower because of he just prices himself out of every fight. But now when he kind of has them by the balls, he could maybe ask for more. Netflix can jump in and try to salvage this and give Tommy the money. I don't know if Netflix is looking for, Gervonta Davis type of fights or Tyson type of fights, or they're looking like a Fury fight is big, but it's not big. But it's also a couple weeks. You can't really beggars can't be choosers if you're gonna.
What's the date? What's the new date?
It's either going to be December 12th or the 19th.
All right, so looking at 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, and there's three contracts sent out. I don't know who the three contracts are. This is according to Jake Paul. Like, hopefully Ngannou's one of them. Tommy Fury, who knows? Andre Ward was rumored. And 41 years old, hasn't fought since 2017. Loves to talk about coming back, Andre Ward. Never comes back, though. Loves to talk about it, though.
No. If he would have come back already, I believe. I don't see that going.
About above it, we just talked about Ngannou is like feels like he's above a Jake Paul fight.
Yeah,
I feel like Andre Ward. You know, he's kind of like a highbrow. I'm Andre Ward, School of Ward, Son of God. I'm above Jake Paul.
I don't think he needs it. He definitely doesn't need to do that. I don't know how anyone spends their money, but I don't see that. He stays very busy. He's been extremely active outside of since his retirement. I make money, outside of my fight career. I don't need to fight.
This podcast makes money, yo.
Yeah. I don't sense that from Dre. And, I think if he were to come back, it would be like a Canelo Alvarez comeback. Cause that would be crazy money. And it would be up to the level, that I think the respect that he would look to achieve. I don't think Andre is a real viable candidate here.
So the Jake Paul fight is off and he's looking for a new opponent, and the ex-champions, notable names, are all throwing their hat in the ring or making videos, making mixtapes to get the attention of Jake Paul. Edgar Berlanga put up mixtapes, cassettes with love songs. Jake,
dude, they're making commercials. They're making miniseries. They're doing these multiple
billboards.
These guys all think they're actors now. Is that what this is? Like, what a world do we live in that professional prize fighters have become full blown TikTok actors?
Well, speaking of that,
this is blowing my mind.
Edgar Berlanga put out the strangest video. Was he trying to be Popeye? He had like a black and mild. He was like aggressively lifting Jake, AJ, and it was weird accent. Like, what was the theme there? Like, who was directing that? And what was the theme for Edgar Berlanga's call out of Jake Paul?
I'm just shaking my head. I don't know, man.
That's one guy that's called out Jake Paul, prominent name. Rolly Romero didn't go as far as to make a music video. Didn't go as far as to make a video, but did put out a video on Instagram, just a straight up talking into the camera. Jake, I'll slap you. Give me a week. Did make a fight poster though. That takes effort. Mm. He didn't make it. Maybe someone on his team made it. Effort from Rolly Romero, current WBA welterweight champion. Gabe Rosado is right now calling out Jake Paul, putting out photos, sparring secrets. I wouldn't say short of begging, but going on doing the media rounds. Love Gabe, friend of mine, friend of ours.
Yep.
I get it. Call for the fight. Carmel Mouton put out a tweet.
I mean,
I'm missing a lot of people.
There's guys who are actually viable, like a Gabe Rosado. I get 100% get it. He could get that fight. He still could get that fight. I think it's smart of him to put it out there like, hey, I can be ready. I'll fight you. I think that's a really smart move by him, actually. Berlanga, I know he has another fight already set. So for him, I almost feel, he'll bypass that fight if this came up, but I don't know if he'd be ready.
Berlanga looking at Resendez?
Right. That's what I mean. He's got a fight already set. It's a really tough fight for him. This would be an easier fight and a lot more money if it were to come up. But that also seems like kind of like I'm throwing this out there to get more attention towards what I got going on. But who knows? Maybe they're negotiating behind the scenes. But then you got guys like Mouton. And you got, Rolly's just being Rolly's. He's just like, I don't take anything he does seriously.
His video was very funny.
Well, he's hilarious. I mean,
I'm tired of YouTubers. I'm going to smack Jake Paul in the face. Give me a week. He said a week.
He's hilarious. He's absolutely hilarious. And I like when he does shit like that. Cause he's not that it's not serious, but like he's making a joke of a situation that's pretty funny.
Yeah, like he was outside of a restaurant. Berlanga put in like thought, like they had like a call time in the morning.
Like a script.
They had a script.
There was extras.
There was extras. There was a director of photography, and what they came up with was be like a Popeye, but like Puerto Rican, and also like grunt, and have a black and mild, and wear a durag.
Carmel is just putting his name in the mix, like just like, hey, I'm like young and not really that well known yet. Let me put this out there.
Oh, he just sent the tweet, which is the least you can do. You can lay on your couch and do that. I think he sent out. Where is it? I have it here.
That's one of those like your manager or your dad walks by and like, hey, hear about this? Go tweet about that.
Or okay. Like, hey, Carmel, did you send that tweet out yet? The calling out Jake Paul. All right, I'll do it now.
I'll do it.
I know another lightweight.
It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. He's got 824 likes saying that he knows another lightweight that will fuck Jake Paul up. I guess I assume he's talking about himself. I'm not talking about a lightweight, he said. And my point is here, Chris, is Jake. When Jake Paul needs an opponent, everyone comes out of the woodworks to show you that he is doing something right. And MVP is doing something right. Jake's doing something. Nikita's doing something right. Because you have champions, ex-champions, contenders, all circling the block. Chris Algieri
doing
has called
something
out.
Right? Doing something right?
Doing something
there's
right?
Just a big bag attached to it.
I mean,
there's just a big bag. It's not like doing something right. I mean, listen, they're doing a great job with the promotion.
Yeah, big bag. You got to do something right to get that big bag.
I don't look at it like that. I look at it like it's do something right. I mean, what are we doing?
As someone
right?
who loves just, making money, you like to make money. I like to make money.
Love
Jake Paul
money.
Loves to make money. So Jake Paul like is doing something right in that regard, where he is.
He's made a ton of money and made very smart. And I think he's a master marketer. And the way that he's able to construct everything he's doing. But you talk about these other guys, it's like he's doing something right to be able to. No, it's just like, maybe you're all right. Maybe he's done something right that it drags attention. But
you say doing something right. It's such a vague, open-ended thing. He's doing something where a ton of fighters.
He's done a lot of things right.
MMA fighters, influencers, actors, boxers are all throwing their hat in the ring or willing to make these videos, willing to kind of put their egos to the side.
But it's almost like, Dan, this way I look at it, it's like when a bunch of thirsty girls are like going up to the 60-year-old guy who's got tons of money. It's like, well, he's doing something right. Is he though?
He is.
He's doing something right.
He could have made a lot of mistakes in life. Why is he single at 60?
Well, that's not my point. I'm talking about 60. I'm talking about the 70-year-old fat guy that all the girls are hanging on because he's rich. He's a whale. That's what he is. He's a whale. Look at all the girls he gets. He's doing something right. No, he's not. He did something right. And now he's there. He's got a lot of money around him. So,
regardless, people are making videos. Chris's video is coming out on Sunday. We're shooting it tomorrow.
Well, listen.
What's your theme going to be for calling out?
Don't make me think about it.
I'm surprised Paulie hasn't called him out.
I'm going to talk to the director of photography for the movie I'm working on and see if I can hire the director. We'll put something together.
Bro, you're on a movie set. You're on a boxing movie set. You could make an insane video calling out Jamie.
Yeah. I'm surrounded by a ton of real big-time professional Hollywood directors and production people. We put
Jamie Foxx?
Something real nice. Could we maybe get him involved?
You tap Jamie on the shoulder. Hey, man, Mr. Foxx. You would ever call him
Mr. Foxx.
Mr. Foxx, just a quick second. Can you help me call out Jake Paul?
I actually do call him Mr. Foxx, but yeah. Mr. Foxx.
Can you help me call out Jake Paul? I think I could maybe get in the ring.
Hey, I got this scene that I wrote out. Would you mind just doing a little pro bono acting since you're an Academy Award winner? You think I could borrow you for my stupid video for my Instagram?
You make a music video with Jimmy Fox singing and you're in the background calling out Jake because Jake makes music videos.
I'll tell you this. That man's voice is
amazing. He
sings
those songs with Kanye.
He just sings a cappella on set. And it's like, it's incredible. Incredible.
Dude, College Dropout, not Family Business. Man. He did, what did he do?
No, College Dropout was Kanye West.
On the College Dropout. Oh. Slow Jams.
His album was good, man. Talk to girls,
We don't put enough emphasis on
I don't
want to
get copyrighted right now.
We're about to get...
He also played Ray. He played Ray Charles, bro. Sang all those songs himself. He's a freaking G. Jimmy Foxx is a G. All right, that's our episode for the week. Enjoy the fights. I'm going with Virgil Ortiz late stoppage. Chris got Virgil Ortiz decision. You have a great card on Pro Box. Nicholas Flaws and Tiger Johnson. Two potential welterweight contenders.
Super good fight. Really, really good fight. We had Pete Dobson originally. He fell out, and Delonte Tiger Johnson stepped in.
Nice.
Made the fight even better. Both these guys really on the cusp of breaking into like legitimate contention at welterweight. I think the winner here is going to be a guy that we're going to actually talking about on our show as fighting one of the champions soon.
Yeah, go everyone tune in Pro Box tonight over on YouTube or the app and watch Chris and Paulie.
Check out me and
Jimmy.
Paulie. See how Paulie's face is healing.
Is he going to wear the eye patch on the air?
Ooh, good question. I don't know. I haven't seen him yet today.
He should go with a pirate theme, even though we're past Halloween.
So I'll do a hook for a hand. He'll do the eye patch. I'll do the hook.
Good God. I love this sport. All right, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back Monday to break it all down. Hopefully. I should not say that. I'm going to rescind what I'm about to say. Who knows what we can get on Monday when it comes to 154-pound division. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy yourselves. Protect yourselves at all times. Enjoy yourselves. Keep your hands up. Keep them protected. Everything. Stay out of DMs.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.